See, Jeff, you're last again.
And he took 10 minutes of his time.
Next time, Jeff, we're going to put you first all day long. Okay. We're going to give you the respect that you wanted last time. That you.
It's all about accountability, and I recall a previous commission meeting where I was, where we were all told that I need more attention.
So, here to talk.
Thank you, Jeff.
Any questions? And that just describes my world every day. So again, Jeff Davis, Assistant Director, responsible for the Habitat Program. With me today is your Randy Thurston, who's our phenomenal Protection Division Manager who oversees the HPA program as well as our oil spill team. To talk about the Aquatic Wolf Management Program. So kind of building on Director Unsworth's great Wild Future Initiative concept, and knowing that we had just implemented our HPA rules, and we have a long way to go, and we're learning a lot, but we also are preparing for legislation in the 2017 session. As you all likely know, our fees are due to sunset after next legislative session, and so we're needing to progress with some statutory change. The scope of that will be determined by our stakeholders, the tribes, and notably you and the governor's office. So trying to move forward with the HPA program or continue our improvement efforts around the program and gaining support, we did listening sessions similar to the Wild Future Initiative. So we had, I believe, 27 listening sessions statewide between January and May, where we had 157 participants at those listening sessions. We also, at the same time, had online an online comment opportunity, and we received 28 comments online or via email. So I stole my own thunder. We followed the Wild Futures model. Essentially, what we are doing is asking stakeholders and the tribes, what do you think we're doing right? What do you think we're doing wrong? And what do you think of what we're doing wrong? What are your ideas for us that would work for you to say that, you know, move us to the we're doing it right bucket? So in that, we're thinking there's what we heard we're putting into statutory change bucket or rule change bucket or operational improvements, things that we can do right away, take steps to improve our operations. And then I don't want to steal Randy's thunder either, but there's that last bucket of what services do people want that we may not be providing right now? Golly, I like did this in reverse engineering. So we did this now for a lot of reasons. One of the main ones from my perspective is to test what the real impacts of the new HPA rules were on our customers and stakeholder perspective and the tribal perspective as well. So we all heard this is going to cost a lot more money. It's going to slow things down. We didn't necessarily hear that in our listening sessions. So that's a good thing, and yet something that we need to keep asking that question about and seeking some data. You probably have heard me say this before, relationships aren't something, they're everything. And that's couldn't be more true when you're trying to operate a regulatory program. It oftentimes in our world is not what you say, it's exactly how you say it. These listening sessions really give us an opportunity, like that first slide said, is to not necessarily engage with our customers in a back and forth, but to sit and really listen and try to listen to understand. All that's great data and helps us kind of continue to move the program forward and get more support from customers, stakeholders, and tribes. Another key factor in all of that is that they all get to kind of hear one another instead of us continuing to play the telephone game where we bounce back and forth between stakeholders or from stakeholders to tribes. They all get to intermingle and hear one another's values and needs. And then lastly, this input will drive significant portions of the HPA portion of Wild Future legislations. So it's a critical, the HPA piece, I think some of the growth internally is, you know, habitat protection, species protection has to go along with recovery, has to go, all of that is a key component of fisheries management and fisheries conservation. With that, Randy will tell us what we learned.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay? That's better. We actually learned a lot. I can do that if you want. You'd be surprised. Well, you won't be surprised to know that we heard some different opinions, especially on the value of the HPA program, how we provide flexible mitigation options, application fees, and the geographic extent of our jurisdiction. So in the terms of the value of the program, we had some folks that said that really value the program because it's the only program in the state that is solely for the protection of fish life. The tribes also emphasized that the value of the program in terms of protecting their treaty rights. Other customers believe that the HPA program may be outdated. They said that there are other state and federal regulations now that protect fish and that were not necessary. And this really highlights to me that we need to do a better job conveying our value to our stakeholders and providing more messaging around that. And I think this is something we're going to be addressing in the next legislative session. Jurisdiction, we were out talking to folks before we got our Attorney General's opinion. So some folks thought our jurisdiction extended well above the ordinary high water line into the floodplain. Others believed it was at or below the ordinary high water line. I think the AG opinion that came out last week shows that our jurisdiction does extend above the ordinary high water line. But with that, there has to be an effect to the better flow of state waters and an effect on fish life. Many of our customers would like more flexible mitigation options. They'd like to see more flexible work windows. They'd like to see options for inspections and sampling and compensation rather than out-and-out work window closures. They want alternatives to mitigation options for maintenance of fish passage structures that or replacement of those structures where the structures have a high cost for replacement, for example, but a real low benefit in terms of providing habitat. Potentially, there's not much habitat upstream. The other thing they would like to see is more options for mitigation banks and in-lieu fee programs. On the other hand, others are concerned that if we are too flexible with our mitigation options, that we will have under-mitigated impacts to fish life. Application fees was something that everybody asked about when we were out talking with them. Some customers were really concerned that an increase in the fee would be a financial hardship for them. Particularly, heard this from small counties and cities who get quite a few HPAs. Others said that they wouldn't mind paying more, especially for larger projects, realizing that the complexity of the project. In turn, it means an increased workload for us. And then we also heard that from some customers that they think restoration projects should have the fee waived for those types of projects. So we did hear some broad, we heard broad support for habitat protection, increased transparency and consistency, improved collaboration, increased outreach and technical assistance, and increased enforcement. So almost everyone we spoke with said it was important to protect fish, shellfish, and their habitat. In general, they did recognize the importance of improving fish habitat restoration and protection efforts to get fish populations delisted and to support healthy and harvestable fish populations. Many customers said that we should continue to improve our statewide transparency and consistency. They like to see the mitigation, while they want mitigation to be consistent, predictable, and correctly scaled to the impact. They would like us to require our biologists to provide written justification for their permit decisions, such as what fish species are present at the job site, how the work will impact those species, and how the permit provisions mitigate for those impacts. The habitat biologist, they would also like the habitat biologist to document in writing why compensatory mitigation is required and how the required amount was determined. I was really surprised. Our folks actually want more interaction with us, our customers, with us outside of the permitting process, which was really, for myself, rewarding to hear. They would like to have, you know, more frequent meetings with us so that we better understand each other's needs, more cross-training so habitat biologists can understand what their what the customers do and their constraints. And they would like us to include them in those as trainers as well as trainees. There was also something we heard from local governments and ports is they would like to have more training for their staff that we would provide to them, especially on water crossing structures. There was also, when we met with contractors, a suggestion that we have a contractor certification program. And that contractors who complete this course would be listed on our website as preferred contractors. Many of our customers mentioned the need for better collaboration with other agencies, especially for larger projects, and they would really like to see us lead this coordination effort. They would like us to see more coordination with mitigation, so what's being required by all agencies is kind of a total package and cohesive, so we don't have conflicting requirements, for example. And they also emphasize the need for pre-application consultation to avoid surprises late in the application process. They also, the other thing we heard was that we should be inviting, you know, technical experts to help us shape rules and policies and procedures from outside of the agency. And they recommended that we work on two or three topics that we could actually make progress together on. Tribes, environmental groups, and contractors stated that we need to strengthen our enforcement program. I was surprised to hear contractors especially express this need. They're frustrated because the contractors that we met with said that they go to great steps to comply with the law and do it right, and they don't see many consequences for those that don't. And we didn't hear any objections during the meeting to increase civil penalties or stop work authority, which is something that we've been contemplating asking in the next legislative session. So what we're doing well, most people that we talked to said that our biologist and HPA processing staff are great to work with. We heard words like professional, responsive, solution-oriented. Why can't the Corps be more like you? And also we did hear that from many in the regulated community, they like our new online permitting system. So what's next? The department's will summarize the comments in a report that will be published in July of 2016. The report will include, you know, how we can use the feedback to improve the HPA program and address future needs. As we move forward, we will be working with our customers to create the Wild Futures portion of the HPA program. And that's it. No questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jeff, that was the best presentation I've ever seen.
Because I didn't talk.
I'm
speechless. No. I didn't know.
Yeah, I guess I don't have a question, but I'm just thinking about the old days and when we were really focused on golden fish and spent months and months and months, years, talking about how to regulate that activity. I think it's nice that we're not having to spend that much time right now on that, but looking at the bigger picture, which is, you know, quite challenging, and we are under a lot of pressure from the tribes to do something about habitat. And I think we have explained to them, the tribes, during some of our meetings about the limitations in our authorities. But even within our limited authorities, there's still some things that we can do. So thank you. Good job. You're doing God's work.
Have a nice weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hopefully we got you out to lunch a little early.
Yeah, Jeff, I was just wondering, I know our HPA evaluation just came back from the Attorney General. Any initial feedback or comment from the counties or others? We had the counties came in, what, a month ago and visited with us a little bit, but any, or you sent it to a couple legislators? I don't, just.
Yeah, so where we sit with local governments, I think the broader Association of Cities and Counties, how do I say this? So I think there's work to do. It's been radio silence from those particular counties and the city that came and met with you, Director Unsworth, and I suspect maybe some backstory here. The Attorney General opinion was requested in response to a threat of litigation from a few counties in a city or cities. Their main point was regarding the HPA jurisdiction debate that had been going on probably since 1943 when the law was created. Those particular jurisdictions we haven't heard from, and I suspect they have their attorney looking through the Attorney General opinion to see whether it warrants any further action on their part or not. We have met with the Farm Bureau and talked through that. They're not super happy with maybe me in particular of not like signaling well in advance that we were thinking of requesting that. I have apologized to them because those jurisdictions that threatened the litigation were part of what they refer to as the HPA coalition, which is made up of local governments, Association of Washington Business, Association of General Contractors, etc. I'm missing a few, but essentially the regulated community. So I made the assumption that since members of the coalition were threatening the litigation, that there had been some conversation internally. So the good news is I think we can move forward for sure. We have some trust building to do, and I expect to do that trust building as we sit down with all the stakeholders and the tribes in the same room, like I said earlier, to say, here's what we think effective fish protection looks like, and that's what we want to put on the table. And maybe in response kind of to the comment about the funding and how we've done it in the past versus how we've done it in the how we're proposing to do Wild Future now, my thought is you put what you need down on the table. And right now around habitat and especially terrestrial species conservation, we absolutely aren't doing our due diligence if we don't say what we really need to do and what we really need in order to do that. So we will be putting down on the table from the agency's perspective what we think effective fish protection looks like, and then working with everyone to try to refine that such to get as much consensus around that piece of legislation as we can, remembering it's a component of Wild Future. So it's not necessarily a standalone bill. And that'll come to you, hopefully, with those folks having consensus. Now, also, I think where we need to go is expanding on the conflict transformation investment in the agency, because no doubt this is my aquatic wolf management program, and I feel like we can move past a lot of this and not constantly have fish protection under attack, especially by the folks that we regulate. So we're trying to reach nirvana with this program where you interact with a customer and when you walk away, they go, wow, that was a great experience. Even if you tell them no, they understand exactly why. And we give them choices, right? They have choices to make to get to yes. And at the same time, we're effectively protecting fish. And so you'll see our draft legislation coming forward, not necessarily saying we need more jurisdiction at all, but hitting on the enforcement pieces, hitting on the funding level pieces, because if we're going to hit the customer service nirvana piece, we need some more staff on the ground kicking dirt with folks and creating solutions. So, sorry, that was a long-winded way to say some people are still pouring through it. The folks on the fish conservation or fisheries side are, you know, some are doing backflips, high fives. For us, it's not necessarily over. We need to be successful so we can keep that authority where it is today. Lunchtime.
Lunchtime.
Thank you.